AI PCs built for business with Intel Core Ultra processors and Intel vPro are optimized for hundreds of AI apps and tools to boost user productivity, collaboration, and creativity. No product can be absolutely secure. Learn more at intel.com/itheroes.
Meta regains its foothold in China. Plus, Novo Nordisk rushes to up production of its popular obesity treatments, and we'll look at how the U.S. let its influence in Latin America slip away.
There's a lot of frustration here. They want to do business with the U.S., but the U.S. is not playing ball because U.S. domestic politics has changed quite dramatically in terms of promoting domestic industry and perhaps ignoring parts of the rest of the world.
It is Friday, November 10th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Meta is returning to China. We're exclusively reporting that it struck a preliminary deal with the world's largest video game company, Tencent, to sell its Meta virtual reality headsets in the country as early as next year. The deal comes 14 years after Facebook was shut out of China, and Journal reporter Raphael Huang told us it could open up a major new market for Meta's VR gear.
The global shipment of VR headsets has been declining in recent quarters due to the weakened economy and aging product offerings. So the market is wondering whether VR headsets are able to win over a broader base of consumers. So earlier this year, Meta slashed prices for some headsets, and we also know that Meta has explored lowering costs of some components. The product they're going to sell in China using cheaper components is part of Meta's efforts to boost the business.
All right, so maybe a cheaper headset can spur demand then, but this market, Raphael, poses some unique challenges regardless, right? Not least because Beijing has lately been tightening regulations around video games.
That's true. So we understand that this is still a provisional deal, and details are subject to change. One of the uncertainties is China hasn't issued any rules for VR yet, so it is still unclear whether Tencent would need formal government approval to introduce Meta's device in China, and in particular, to offer VR contents on the headset, especially VR games. The background here is that China requires video game publishers to seek government approval before launching a new title. All of this would probably create hurdles for Meta's devices to be sold in China.
That was Journal reporter Raphael Huang, and we should note that Meta declined to comment on this story and Tencent didn't respond to a request for comment. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is set to hold another day of talks with the Vice Premier of China in San Francisco today, ahead of a meeting there next week between President Biden and Xi Jinping. Yellen's meeting is the latest in months of U.S.-China diplomacy meant to steady volatile relations. And speaking yesterday, she acknowledged ongoing competition, but said the U.S. had no desire to decouple economically.
The United States will continue to take targeted actions to protect our and our allies' national security. But we are also committed to communicating clearly about these actions to prevent any misunderstandings or miscalculations, and we welcome more clarity on China's thinking and actions.
U.S. officials are concerned that Beijing could respond to an economic slowdown by cutting rates, which could boost Chinese exports and undercut American companies. Instead, they plan to suggest direct support to households, though Chinese officials haven't embraced such moves. Chinese officials, meanwhile, are expected to seek clarity from Yellen on the Fed, given that its rate moves have forced Beijing to prop up a weakening yuan. And a cyber attack on one of the world's biggest banks affected trading of U.S. bonds yesterday. The Industrial and Commercial Bank of China said the lender's U.S. trading business was hit by a ransomware attack, and that in turn reduced liquidity in the Treasuries market. Journal Finance reporter Patricia Kausman has more.
Cybersecurity is a major issue that is keeping a lot of bank CEOs and regulators up at night. This example shows a little bit why that is. This Chinese bank, it's one of the firms that clears U.S. bonds trading. They basically stay in the middle of a trade between a seller and a buyer, and make sure that the seller will receive the money and the buyer will receive the product. Now, these ransomware attacks, they basically freeze these banks' abilities to clear anything. So this shows just how cyber attacks really have the potential to cripple parts of the financial systems, like machinery, things that's not obvious to us, but that is essential to make markets work. This could cause big disruptions, ultimately.
According to cybersecurity company TruSec, the attack used ransomware developed by Russian hacking group Lockbit, which is considered the world's most widely used ransomware program. Democratic, relatively affluent, and wedged between Latin America's two biggest countries, Argentina and Brazil, Uruguay should be a natural ally of the United States. But unsuccessful in repeated bids to link up with Washington economically, it is instead turning to China in what Journal correspondent Samantha Pearson reports is part of a trend of waning American influence in the region. Samantha, take us through this pivot that Uruguay is making, starting with when and why it began to look beyond the United States.
Uruguay is a tiny country, fewer than 4 million people, about the size of the state of Washington. It produces far more than it consumes. So foreign trade is literally its lifeline, its economic lifeline. So it's always kind of had this view of it's going to do business with whoever wants to do business with Uruguay, friends with everybody. So in the 1990s, that was very much Argentina and Brazil. And then there was a massive economic crisis in the region. And then that's when they started looking outside the region, full stop. The US were actually more interested in Uruguay, and they actually proposed a free trade agreement in 2007. But at the time, Uruguay was headed by a very left-wing political party, anti-imperialist, and they rejected the offer, and they came to regret that. So really, the US is still very important to Uruguay. It's more the growth of China that's changed the dynamic.
Okay, so how have China then been stepping up their ties with Uruguay?
So China and Latin America are kind of a match made in heaven, right? China needs what Latin America wants to sell, which is commodities. So be that iron ore in the case of Brazil specifically, in Uruguay, that's beef. There are four times as many cows in Uruguay as people. So beef is a big industry. So that process has been very, very gradual. And I've seen this in Brazil as well, been here for 13 years or so. At the beginning, the relationship was just commodity-based. And then the banks started moving in to kind of free up financing. But that relationship has just got much deeper, much more diverse. In Brazil, you see Chinese investment in IT sector. The type of goods that China is selling in Brazil has dramatically changed. Now, people look to China as a high-tech provider of robotic vacuums or watches or cell phones.
All right, so China clearly playing an important role for trade with Latin American countries, but why is the U.S. not an equally important partner?
There's a lot of frustration here. They want to do business with the U.S., but the U.S. is not playing ball. And 2021, there was an auction for 5G. The Americans were really putting pressure on the Brazilian officials to ban Huawei from the auction, but they didn't offer anything in return. And from the Brazilians' point of view, and foreign policy here in Brazil is very pragmatic, very much based on trade rather than ideological values, they just said it doesn't make sense because Huawei is going to reduce costs for companies across the country. Why should we ban them when the States is not offering anything in return? Meanwhile, they're dealing with these huge populations, much poorer than the US, and they're doing everything they can to deliver those things to their people, you know? And then there's China on their doorstep offering them everything that they need, more or less. China's been building schools, they've been helping build hospitals, medical equipment, they've even been donating to the military in Latin America. So it's a hard thing to refuse, really, if you put yourself in the position of these leaders.
All right, so some stark contrasts at play there, but can we say whether this pivot in Uruguay and maybe in other Latin American countries is set in stone?
It's not set in stone. I think it's worth mentioning a free trade agreement with the US is not on the table right now, but there are other smaller preparatory agreements on the table. So there's a TIFA, which is stepping stone to a free trade agreement, where they basically decide in a framework about how they would go ahead. And also, apparently, the U.S. is trying to work with Uruguay and Ecuador. Ecuador was another country that asked for a free trade agreement, got rejected, and went to China. So very much the same scenario. But apparently, the U.S. is trying to work with those two countries to kind of fit them into an existing agreement that covers the Caribbean. So there is some stuff happening. It's just not happening fast enough. But in the meantime, you have China, you know, pummeling and pushing money into the region. Lacalle, the president of Uruguay, he said that US is so important because they buy more of what we want to sell. China's there buying its beef, but the US is a huge buyer in Uruguay of IT equipment, software, like banking software. And that's the future that Uruguay wants for Uruguay. But the thing is, China is not just that buyer of beef that it used to be maybe 15 years ago. So the more time that the US waits, doesn't engage in a meaningful way, the relationship with China is just going to get stronger.
That was Wall Street Journal correspondent Samantha Pearson. Samantha, thanks so much for bringing us this story.
Thanks very much.
Coming up, Novo Nordisk is pledging to spend big to boost production of its blockbuster weight loss treatments. We've got that story and more after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Turning to Sudan, refugees from the Darfur region are reporting some of the worst mass killings of the country's seven-month civil war. Gabrielle Steinhauser is the Journal's bureau chief for Africa and says the conflict between two warring generals has become increasingly ruthless, with Sudan's Rapid Defense Forces militia targeting refugees in a brutal attack earlier this week.
Members of this militia, the RSF, stormed into this refugee camp filled with about 30,000 people who had previously fled attacks by the same militia and killed around 700, maybe even more, mostly men and adolescent boys. We've really struggled to draw attention, and even the UN and human rights and aid groups, to draw attention to what's going on in Sudan amid the war in Ukraine now, the conflict around Gaza and Israel. But really, this is a horrible war. Estimates of deaths are at least 10,000, but really nobody is able to count because it's almost impossible to get into Sudan. And about 1 million have fled to other countries where they're also receiving very little support because the UN and other aid groups are really having trouble getting funding.
The RSF has denied responsibility for the attack. Novo Nordisk is investing more than $6 billion to boost production capacity of its blockbuster obesity and diabetes drugs, Wegovy and Ozempic. The Danish pharmaceutical giant has been struggling to meet surging demand for the drugs and has been forced to limit supply of lower-strength doses of Wegovy in the U.S. as it seeks to safeguard supplies for current patients. That's resulted in obesity patients turning to Novo Nordisk's Ozempic diabetes drug as an alternative, which has led to further shortages affecting diabetes patients. And experts are warning that the rise of AI-powered deepfake technology is posing an increasing threat to both celebrities and the general public. In one high-profile incident, TikTok users recently encountered a deceptive ad featuring YouTube star Mr. Beast offering 10,000 iPhones for $2 each. And Journal reporter Patrick Coffey told our Tech News Briefing podcast that the scam, along with similar incidents involving celebrities like Tom Hanks and Gayle King, highlights the growing misuse of deepfakes.
There's the possibility now that because AI technology is so easily accessible, that really anyone who has a photo of their face or a brief video or audio recording of their voice could technically be targeted in the same way that Tom Hanks was. I reached out to Meta and TikTok, and both of them said the vast majority of this sort of content gets caught by their automated filters, either as it goes live or even before it goes live. However, it's pretty obvious just by the number of celebrities that are talking about this that their filters are not perfect, and they kind of acknowledge this. And it's almost an impossibility to catch every single scam, particularly as we understand it, the organizations behind these tend to just disappear when they get caught, and then they can just move on to their next target.
And for more, check out the latest episode of Tech News Briefing on WSJ.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And that is What's News for Friday morning. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Otherwise, have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITHeroes.